We'll be looking at something very simple in the Bible, and at the same time, very difficult. Today, I may not give you so many scriptural references, but I want you to begin to look at scripture a different way. I asked this question the other time. How many errors or mistakes do you think are in the Bible? Number one, if our life and our hope of eternity depends on the truth in that Bible, then we must be absolutely sure of what we are doing. Paul said, if our hope is only in this world, he said, Christians are the most miserable set of people you can meet. Because people out there are enjoying themselves, living free without any guilt, conscience, without any fear of, oh, maybe I'm making a mistake, maybe I'm serving this and that. The only reason we're hanging on to God is because of eternity. Because if you remove the eternity equation from it, what you have left is here and now. Get all you can get, can it, and sit on the can. That's what people do in business. If there is no hope of judgment, no hope of hell, no hope of heaven, hey, why am I stressing myself and doing all kinds of things? I should just live a simple life. But we know that there is heaven and hell. We know that there is God that has planned and has proposed for a time of judgment only through the word of God. And that word of God is not coming to us through a voice that says, ooh, this is the word. No. Simply through the Bible. If there are errors in the Bible, if there are mistakes in the Bible, if there are wrong information in the Bible, if they were not presented in the best way that you understand, sometimes you will believe in error. Sincerely. Because that's just the only thing you have read. Today, what I want to bring out for us in the Bible are just two fundamental things. How do I differentiate between the principles in the Bible and between the traditions in the Bible? Reason? Several denominations today are only separate based on tradition. We're going to define those terms. Many people choose which church, what doctrine, what belief, what to practice just because of specific things. Some people don't believe in Old Testament. Some people believe only in New Testament. Some people believe in this and that. And if I just run down through fingers, every significant issue of life is kind of debated today because we cannot differentiate between the principles and what is just customary. Life is started when a child is born and ends when a person is died physically. Right? Those two fundamental issues in the Bible, some people are separated on it based on tradition or knowledge or truth or principles. In between life being born and life ending, every stage of life also, you have specific instructions, guidance, commandments in the Bible. From growing up, to getting married, to having children, to having homes, to having your business and endeavors, there is always some injunction, instruction, commandment, or some laws guiding you. My question to you today will be, how do I differentiate between principles in the Bible and customs so that I will not propagate and believe in a lie? I can bring seven issues up right away and you will be divided as to which one is the truth. Number one, should women teach in the Bible? Number two, should we wear clothes of different materials? Number three, should we baptize children? Number four, when children die, do they go to hell or heaven? Because of different teachings at different times for different reasons, people have advanced through the same material, through the same scripture, different principles. Number one, let's start with the definition. What is principle? When you say that this is the principle, you are basically talking about the fundamental basis for something. Okay, example. Principle of driving. If you want to teach somebody to drive, you don't have to teach them to drive in all the routes in San Antonio for them to know how to drive. Oh, you have to drive first in I-10, then you have to drive in 410, then you have to drive in 155, 281, 90. No! You only need to teach them principles of driving. Sit in the car, pay attention through the screen, check the side mirrors sometimes, start the engine, make sure you are seat belted, ensure you have gas in your car, check the lights, make sure that the battery is okay, make sure you have the license to drive, and then when you want to step on it, make sure at least you can see your rear and your front. When the car is approaching, apply wisdom to decide whether to let them come or not. Certain principles. And when you are afraid, you think the car is running too fast, there is something called brake. Press it. Those are the principles of driving. If I want to give you customs of driving, I will tell you how people drive on I-10, how people drive on 410, how people drive on 281. It is irrelevant to the principle of driving. Because I'm giving you one example of a driver does not mean I'm actually telling you how to drive. If you look carefully, you will see that the person drives. You can examine the person details and see he drives well, he shakes his hand, he's, you know, cutting off people, he's honking sometimes, or he looks out from the whatever, he's cussing people out or doing stuff. That would just be an example of driving. It's not a principle. We must understand what principle is. Fundamental basis for something. You can pick any other example. Mathematics. Okay, we have. So if I make a mistake, pardon me. How do you add two numbers together? I can teach my children every possible number in the world. 2 plus 2 is 4. 6 plus 4 is 10. 11 plus 11 is 22. I can go on and never finish. Because I'm giving examples of how to add two numbers. But if you teach a child how to add two numbers, potentially that child can add infinite numbers. When you want to add, make sure you count the first one, count the second one, put them together, count from the beginning to the end, the two of them together. That is the principle of addition. That is the fundamental basis for adding numbers together. You don't teach somebody all the examples in the world for them to get how to add. I ask you this question. This is what they do in a company that manufactures calculator. When they want to test how the calculator works, do you think they test all possible numbers that calculator can calculate? No. They pick two different numbers, negative and positive, some complex number, whatever, and they run the test quickly, six simple tests. Can this calculator do this? Can it subtract? Can it divide? How many digits does it have? Does it show decimal number? And that is it. If I ask you, how many numbers can a calculator punch out? You'll be like, well, like 10 billion or whatever. They don't do all the 10 billion computation. They only do the one that is fundamental. So, for us in the Bible, how do you extract the principles in the Bible so that you won't be confused about explanations or traditions or customs when they are explaining simple principle? Many people will teach Bible in such a way that you'll be so carried away with the description of the event rather than the principle that is being taught. Principles are the set or rules governing personal behavior. What are your principles when you want to eat? You must have some set of behavior. Some people will only eat and drink water after. Some people will drink water while they're eating. Some people will not touch the meat until they finish the food. Some people, all they want to eat is just the beef, steak.
Some people love salad. Some people, the principle is some people only watch the calories they want to eat. It's a principle. So the type of food they eat is irrelevant to you, because if you look at what they eat, you may never get the pattern. Oh, why did he eat salad right now? Why is he eating small quantity? Why is he eating just small? Why is he working out afterward? No, the principle is I'm watching my calories, so I'm going to eat very light. Principle. In the Bible, if we cannot distill the principle from a message, from the story we are reading, we're going to make all kinds of mistakes. We're going to lose the context. We won't understand what is going on. Remember, principle drives behavior. Your principle, the principle of driving, drives how people behave when they drive. That's just an example. Your principle will drive your reasoning. How am I going to think about this? Okay, let me jump and move fast. Custom. In your opinion, in fact, I thought I knew this until I double checked it in the dictionary. Custom is just a traditional or widely accepted behavior. Ha! Please carefully link the two. Custom is traditional or widely accepted behavior. But wait, behavior is driven by principle. So custom will vary from one location to another, from one people to another, from one society to the other. In the Bible, there are so many customs. And today, when somebody wants to preach anything they want, they pick a section that has a custom they want to preach in, and they use that custom. Wait a minute. Every time you see a behavior in the Bible, you must be able to distill the principle. What is the principle behind it? When Jesus would see somebody manifesting, fighting, struggling, or tearing things down, Jesus knows the principle. He will be like, this is not the person. It's the devil inside that is doing that. When Peter told Jesus, oh, you are the Messiah. Oh, I know the principle here. It's the spirit inside of you that is God's spirit that is speaking now. Oh, sometime later. Oh, you're not going to die. No, now the principle is another spirit is taking over you at this moment. Being able to distill principle from different events, the same person, requires the spirit of God. So we know that custom is just a widely accepted behavior. What are the customs in America? Customs in America are completely different from customs back in different countries. If you came from a different country and you come to America, of course, customs are different. You'll be shocked sometimes when you see the way things are done in America. How you talk to people. If you walk across people on the street, mostly people will smile at you. They don't mean to. It's just customary. It is a widely accepted behavior that you smile at the person you are walking past. So if you come into America just like, I don't know you. You just walk past people. They'll be like, you are not like cultured. If you go to Africa, want to greet somebody, they bow down, almost knock their head on somebody's, you know. They bow down and, you know, prostrate. If you go to Israel, they touch your foot or something, if you're an elder, you know. Customs are just widely accepted behavior, specific to a society, to a group of people. So if you are reading a story that is describing a custom, you better understand the principle behind that, otherwise you're going to miss the message. Okay, I'm almost there where I'm going. So what is tradition then? Because we know that principle is the fundamental basis for how things are done. It drives how we behave. We know that custom is a widely accepted behavior of some people. Now, what is tradition then? Because we have issues when Jesus had clashes with a lot of people because of the customs and traditions. Tradition is transmission of custom from one generation to the other one. Okay, look at it this way. Principle is, this is the reason why you are doing it. This is the basic way to do something. Custom is how we do it, how they do it, how those people do it. The same principle. Tradition is how, when we say this is how we do it, how we transmit it from my generation to my children, and for them to transmit it to their children, and on and on. Alright, now let's come back to the Bible. Is Bible filled with stories of people? Yes. Is Bible written at a certain society for a certain set of people through a certain set of culture with a set of behaviors? Yes. Is Bible inspired by God for those people to document at that time using their own language? Yes. Therefore, you will see widespread in the Bible documentation of customs, tradition, how it got passed from one generation to the other. At the same time, the principle, which is what God really wants to transmit. Now, the challenge is, how do I separate what God really, really, really wants to transmit? But he had to use it through this custom, through this behavior, through this set of people, through their language, for me to understand. Before I go too far, I have to define one more thing: doctrine. In church, doctrine is a set of beliefs held and taught by church, by a group of people, or by a state. Set of beliefs. You have to now connect all of this. So my question today is, how do you differentiate between principles in the Bible? Let me pick one story. Pick any story. The creation of the world. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And all the story there was talking about how God did it in 6 days, and everything happened in 7 days, he rested and everything. What is the principle in that story? What is the fundamental basis that God wanted to communicate to us? Whether he communicated in such a way that the person interpreted it to be, oh, he did it in 6 days, or, you know, 7 days, and the seventh day was Sunday, or it was a Saturday, and, you know, God made man and woman. So what was it that God was trying to communicate? I'll take a shot at it. An immaterial, spiritual God can make material things. It is a fundamental basis that something that never has a form or shape or physical thing you can grab on can make something that is physical. That is a fundamental teaching in Genesis, because that is a fundamental question in science. Can something appear from nothing? That's the principle. Is it possible for something to appear from nothing? And let me throw that question out. Sir, is it possible for something to come out of nothing? No. Is it possible for something to come out of thin air? Nothing. Question number one. I have another question for you. Is it possible for evil to come out of good? The Bible said that God created the garden, and the garden was the tree of evil and good. So if God is perfectly good, how come evil was in the tree that God created? We must be able to distill the simple truth and the principle in all the stories in the Bible. Because number one, Bible said this, that God is absolutely sovereign. And most times, the reason why we cannot hold on to that as number one, if we write it as number one, God is sovereign.
Meaning, he is, he exists, he controls, he is in charge. No one suggests to him. He is the one that is absolutely in control of all things. Now, if we are going to read any other thing further and say, well, God determines this, God does that, can anybody say that God cannot do something? If we hold the first to be true, that God is suffering, then is there any way that we say there is something that God cannot do? The reason why I'm bringing this out is not to give us a list of how to read and understand Bible, but how we judge what we hear, how we judge what we read, what we look out for when we are studying the Bible. Am I only listening to the story? I can tell you five stories that you know that they sound ridiculous. Number one, Jonah and the whale. Yes, you know that. How would Jonah fit into that whale? Right? Noah and the ark. How many animals went inside that boat? How did Jonah know how to construct a boat? How many trees did he cut down and shape? How did the boat float on the water? How many? You have questions? Tower of Babel. Contrary to several teachings, Noah gave birth to three children, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. Ham gave birth to Egypt, Cush, and Nimrod. And Nimrod had several children that created just one of the great cities he created was Babel. Of course, other ones have their own languages. And God said, these people, the way they are going, I need to separate them because I want them to fill the earth. What is the principle that the Bible is trying to teach? Absolute purpose of God must be done. It's very hard to really synthesize that, but until you really step back at the picture, here is what I'm going with this simple thing today. If this giant world were to be a puzzle that you're going to fill, and I give you all the things you want to fix this puzzle with, by the time you start from that side and you fix the first half of the wall, will you be able to tell me that you know what the puzzle is? I'll repeat that statement. This entire wall is a puzzle, giant puzzle. You have like 1,000 things to stick together to solve the puzzle. If you start from that corner and you move all the way up to the center, halfway, and you solve all those ones correctly, will you be able to tell me what is on the other half of the wall? If you don't understand the principle of God, the fundamental reason or basis for why God is doing what he's doing in your life, you will only guess that maybe this is what God is trying to do with me. When God talks to us individually, we must ask God, sir, what are you trying to do with me? Why would God use Paul, apostle, that was a bounty hunter, killed Stephen, robbed the people in from their parents, from their children, dragged them out, got a letter? He was not a Palestine. Do you know? Paul was from Syria. Tarsus, Cilicia is in Syria, close to Damascus. Damascus is the capital of Syria. Yet, God used him greatly. He was called an apostle. Right? Who nominated him? Apostles are the only chosen ones called for a specific purpose. But you have to see the big picture of the principles of God, how he called people. Thank God with this sanctification, how God called Israel. In fact, if I ask you the question, you will get offended already. Why would God single out Israel and just say, this is my people? It doesn't really sound nice. It's like God is partial, right? In a way, right? You'd be like, why would God just pick some people and say, these are my people? Why some other people are not? But he created everyone. we must be able to distill what is it that God is trying to say. Why would some people make it to heaven and some people not? They asked questions, several questions from Jesus. And Jesus always referred back to, have you not read the scriptures? Have you not read the scriptures? I'll quickly run through some of them. Jesus answered and said, Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He was quoting the Old Testament. Matthew 4 7, he was talking to the devil here. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Through the scripture, you see Jesus quoting Old Testament. Why would Jesus quote all those Old Testament scriptures? Because he has a fundamental understanding of the scriptures. He will say, oh, you killed the prophet, you did this and that. My challenge to you this morning is very simple. How do you read Bible? Do you know that the parish we have right now, or the denomination that we have right now, there are some traditions that we carry along that we think they are principles of Christ, but they are not. We think that they are principles of salvation, but they are not. They are just tradition, widely accepted behavior. I cannot pinpoint them right now. The point is, in everything that you do, whether you serve, teach, lead, organize, or be part of this body, you must only look out for the principles of God. Paul distilled his letter and said, are we supposed to list all these things again, but we're going to go back to the fundamentals? Prayers, faith in Christ, love other people. And Jesus actually distilled all in Matthew chapter 5 when they kept querying him. He talked about oath. And I'll run through this if I can in 2 minutes, because there's no way we can run through some of the important things said by Jesus. I'm going to close with this. Jesus told them, oh, you're going to be the salt and the light of the world. The principle there is, in the world that you operate in, you must be distinct. You must be different if you are ever going to ask somebody to join you. You must be. It's not being salt. It's not being like light. It's like distinct, tasteful, unique. Let's quickly read this scripture so that we can close with it. Matthew chapter 5. If you're there, you can help me out. Matthew chapter 5. You can start from verse 13.
Matthew 5:13. Mm-hmm. By the salt on the earth.
Yes.
But if the salt loses its saltiness, mm-hmm. how can it be made salt again? Mm-hmm. It is no longer good for anything mm-hmm. except to be thrown out and trampled by men.
Continue, sir.
14. You are the light of the world.
Yes.
A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
Yes.
Neither do people light a lamp mm-hmm. and put it in under the bowl. Mm-hmm. Instead, they put on it.
On a stand.
Mm-hmm. And it's giving light to everyone in the house.
Thank you. The principle there is, it may look like it's giving several examples and using light and lamp. If you're going to teach the same principle today, you won't be using lamp and maybe bushel and basket or whatever. You use something else. Something relevant to the culture for them to understand. But the principle remains the same. You must be distant and live a different life. Let me take on another one. That same book, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 33 to 37. There are so many there, but we can only pick two or three. 33 to 37. If you're there, you can help us read.
The same 5?
Matthew chapter 5, yes.
32 to
35.
Oh, 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, mm-hmm. do not break your oath, mm-hmm. but keep the oath you have made to the Lord.
Let's pause a little bit. You have heard it said in time ago, in previous generation, from the tradition, from the custom, that you must keep your oath. Don't swear falsely. Yes, let's continue. Verse 34 now.
Yeah, 34. But I tell you,
But I tell you now,
swear at all.
Do not take an oath at all. Let's wait a minute, because I'm just taking on this simple example. Do not take an oath at all. How many people have been to the court before? They will ask you to swear. You have to take an oath. So if you are taking an oath, are you breaking the principle of Jesus? Do you know, if we only read this line, I'd be like, oh, we should not take an oath. God forgive me. Cross your heart. Error. That's not a principle in this teaching. Let's go on. You will see right now. Do not take an oath at all. Yes?
Do not take an oath by heaven.
Not by heaven.
For it's a God.
It is the God's throne.
35. Or by the earth.
Not by the earth. It is God's footstool.
Or by Jerusalem.
Not by your city or Jerusalem.
For it is the city of the great king.
It is where the great king is.
And do not swear by your heart.
Don't even swear with your head.
For you cannot make any of your hair white or black.
You can't turn the color. You can dye it.
Simply let your head be yes.
Now, simply let your yes be yes.
And your no be no.
And your no be no.
Anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Anything that comes from it is evil. Do you know the principle in that teaching? Let your yes be yes. It is not about swearing. It is not about... It's like we swear an oath because we want to say, in the name of God, all I will say now is true. But he's saying, why do you need God for you to tell the truth when you can just say, this is the truth? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you read this in a different context and don't get the principle out of it, you will be like, in our religion, our faith, we don't swear. They say we should not swear by Bible. Who cares what you swear with? You only take an oath to say that what I'm going to say is true by the higher authority that I'm swearing by. And who knows? Many people swear and lie. They take oath and lie. Does it matter if you lie? God is not going to kill you right there. That is just one of several things in the Bible that if you are not careful to lift out the principle, you will just think, Jesus said we should not swear an oath. But we do it because in our culture, that's the only way we're going to let you be a witness in a court or you sign a document or something, is just raise your hand. Yeah. We cannot go through the list. There's so almost everything in the book, Matthew chapter 5, the entire Bible. Where am I going with this? If you're going to make it to heaven, and you will believe the absolute truth of the gospel, you will need to apply your heart to the principles in the Bible. Otherwise, you are going to have allegiance to denomination. Otherwise, you're going to have allegiance to a pastor or a good teacher. Otherwise, you're going to have allegiance to some doctrines that are relevant to what you think you like. Do you know what God wants is simple principle for us to understand? When they asked Jesus about, what about marriage and divorce and whatever? He said, you are missing the point. But many times, he corrected all the laws of Moses. Because many people will say, what about the laws of Moses? We should all do it. If you care, I can give you a copy of the laws of Moses, 613 of them. In fact, I don't know if you have seen some Jews. The one of the laws of Moses, you should bind the word of God into your hand and onto your head. And they call it tefillin. I don't know if you've seen it. They will bind it on their head. It's like a small box. They bind it on their hand like this. They put it on their doorpost. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, Easter is coming. People will put all kinds of stuff. Put cross in your house. Put stuff on your door. Those are just generally accepted behavior. It has nothing to do with the principle. What Moses was telling them is, don't let this truth escape your children. Do everything you can do to remind them.
I don't want our faith to rest on tradition. Oh, this is how it is done. For instance, if I ask you now, what is the condition for baptism? Oh, in our church, this is how we baptize. In their church, that is how they baptize. This is this, for you to be a worker with all kinds of things going on. What is the principle? Paul went straight away. In fact, you can never enter the synagogue except you are circumcised in Israel. Remember, Paul was not from Israel. He was only by religion a Jew. Was thought, but ended up coming to Israel and was bringing all kinds of Gentiles. Oh, goodness. They beat him up because he did the wrong thing. Jesus was bringing principles out, and he said he was going to destroy the temple in 3 days. That guy must just be something else. I'll conclude with this. Please never hold on to the truth. You have not found the principle. Never accept as a truth if you have not understood the principle. Many people have falsely and wrongly believed in doctrines of men. Have you heard of this Adventist church? The Seventh Day of Adventists or whatever? The only reason that church started was they came out of a Christian body and they calculated from the Bible how many days it will be that Jesus will return. And they said 1849 or something. And they called them Adventists. We are expecting the advent of Jesus. Everybody followed. Over 100,000 people. In America here, they're not like in the moon. They calculated the date. October. No. April. No. March. They had a council. They studied Bible well. They were not understanding the principle that Jesus mentioned. You know what? Everybody in America was almost rushing to them. The date came. Somebody said, oh, nothing happened. Oh, we made a mistake. It was supposed to be October. Remember the time of the feast. And the last October came. And they were like, okay. But we know Jesus is coming. But you know what? They could have gone back, and today we still have the Adventist church. Some people say, oh, that's not the old truth. The truth is that it must be on the seventh day we must be worshiping. That's why God will come on 7 day. So some group came out. They are now the Seventh Day Adventist. You will sometimes cry if you see. The reason why I'm bringing this up today is not for us to look at academic theory of how do I understand Bible. But how are you going to run away from errors that people will preach out of the same Bible? Look at Baptists. You see the Northern Baptists and the Southern Convention. What's the difference? Because of simple argument about lifting the principle out of the Bible. Nobody argues about who God is. The argument is always about the principle of the Spirit. Should we speak in tongues? Southern Convention said, no. Northern Convention said, well, maybe it depends if you want to. And they said they started separating the part. Even go back in time to the Catholic Church. There was only one Catholic Church. Until there was argument between which bishop was more important. Right? Because it was just a set of bishops that was coordinating the whole church. Rome. In Africa, in Tunisia, there was a bishop there. There was a bishop in Jerusalem. There was just about 6 of them. And it got to a time that they were arguing. So who's going to be the one making decision? But Roman government separated the big cities. And if you are a bishop in a big city, you become important. And they were arguing. So who's going to be the head? That was how Roman Catholic Church said, oh, this, in fact, if you read the letters, you will be like, are these people Christians? Because I read almost all their canons, the letters and exchanges. They were almost cursing themselves out. The bishop in Rome said, because I'm in Rome, I should be the one dictating to everybody. In fact, I declare now that I am the authority over all churches everywhere. And the bishop in this other part said, We're in the east. Who is he? He wrote him a stinker and said, we're no longer under your authority. Who cares who you are? What a silly saint. And today we have Eastern Orthodox Catholic Church and the Roman Catholic Church. And on, if you pick every single denomination, you will see the same pattern. How do you come with the Anglican Church? Everybody was under the Pope, I mean, from Rome, Roman Catholic Church, remember, Eastern and separated. And the King Henry said, my wife does not have a boy. I need a boy. Try to marry another person, but you have to do it officially because it's the Pope that will join them. Say, Pope, I need another wife. I'm the king in England. Pope said, no, I will not apply or approve your divorce certificate because Moses said so. Oh, you are in Rome, I'm the king in England. All right, all the bishops in Canterbury and all the areas in England, we declare now that we are no longer subject to the Pope in Rome. You are now Anglican, which is English Church. We're not going to celebrate Mass, you know, and everything. That was how the Anglican Church started. And then the new bishop approved the divorce, approved the whatever, married the second wife, no boy, married the third one, no boy, married the fourth one, had a boy, but the woman died while giving birth. Edward 4 or 7 of England. But you know what happened? Edward died at a young age too. What he fought and broke the church about. That's why you see, they call it the Book of the Common Prayers. Have you seen it? The Book of the Common Prayers, the liturgy they read in the Anglican Church. It was... Yeah, go. It's online. Everybody has it. Book of Common Prayers. That's why if you are coming from Methodist or Anglican, they said that they wrote that book by a committee to help people in Anglican Church because they have separated from the bishop in Rome to come up and, you know, come up with something. Anglican was getting too cold. Another queen came and they were like, no, we should go back to our old whatever, and they start splitting. The Puritans started. Methodist started, Presbyterian started, because we don't want just one person on top, we just want ourselves, congregation leading. All of them started the churches that maybe your family is your friend and you have attended, thinking, that is Christ. That's not Christ. That's just tradition, widely accepted behavior. Why would the Seventh-day Adventists not return back to their church after they found out they believe in a lie? They have to stick with it. If you don't get the principle heart of the Bible, it will sound like you are enjoying your church, enjoying your religion. Check out the religion, the faith and denomination you have today. What are the things that are not coming out of the basic principles of Christ? You check it out yourself, and you see. Many people died just because they want to translate the Bible. The priest will not allow anybody to translate Bible to a language you can read. Priests were the ones burning people at stake. You know what it means? They put the stake down, they bind you to that, and they set you on fire. You are, in fact, if you taught your child the Lord's Prayer, there were several families in England that taught their children the Lord's Prayer. Just the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, and all to the end of it, they got to know you teaching. They burn them at the stake. Because you can read a passage in the Bible that says, oh, well, the priests are the ones that had the final authority. Because even Moses said it. He said, if you have any issue in the scripture that you don't understand, go to the priest. Because he himself wrote it before he died. And said, anyone, in fact, he gave laws to the priests, to the children of Levites, for them to continue on this work. What am I saying today? I'm not saying you should revolt against your denomination. I'm saying you should do a sanity check whether you are only following well accepted behavior or in nicely, you know, in our church today we just want to cruise with our type of people. Where are the Spanish? Where are the whites?
Where are the other people? Where are the poor and the rich and everyone? Are we judging people by what they give? Of course, we don't teach this doctrine. But that is our widely accepted behavior of not accepting people freely. We have to change. Otherwise, what happened to the people in the past will happen to us. You see separation happening at different levels. People starting their own churches at will. Principles. Let people know you for who you believe, what you believe, how you understand the principle. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow all this kind of... It's disheartening. Every time I read through these things, I feel so sad about all this. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. I'll leave you with this. Please study the Word of God to lift the principles that you can live with. I've never seen a man so greatly used by God, except a man so greatly crushed by God. Your doctrine and principle must come from God bending you to His will. Many of us choose our churches because of preference. It's like we subscribe to which one works. Oh, I like this church because they like me. I like this church because I see people I like there. They understand my language. They help me when they need things. Is it the principle? Shall we pray?